The prologue to Gospel of John is spoken by John as description of the storyteller directly to his audience. It may have been a hymn, so he may have sung it, but whether it was sung or chanted or told in a more natural voice, it's in a kind of expression of great joy and wonder. So the introduction to the gospel is this hymn of joy, praise, thanksgiving at the wonder of the Logos. It is directly addressed to the listeners. It is not a theological proclamation. It is rather a description in poetic terms of what's going to follow later in the story. It's John's version of a birth story. And it answers the question, when did Jesus become the Son of God? And in Mark, it's at his baptism. In Matthew and Luke, it's at his conception. In John, it's at the very beginning of creation. So Jesus has always been the Son of God. The Logos has been eternally present as an integral part of God in all of creation. Now, part of what this hymn then does is to establish Jesus as a greater man than any of the other men of antiquity about whom there were birth stories, such as Augustus and Alexander and Plato, in which the stories of their births are also associated with a kind of virgin birth. That is, their mothers conceived without their fathers being involved. But there are stories in each case of their mothers being wrapped by a snake who was a representative of the god, in most instances Apollo, but also Zeus, who then was the source of the pregnancy. But one of the things that's striking about it, if you read those stories, and they're available in a number of places, but in the sources of the Gospels book, they're available. The Jesus stories are much better stories. They're much more interesting, they're much more compelling, and have had much greater impact in the history of civilization. So the degree to which Jesus' mother has been revered throughout history is in part a direct reflection of the impact of those stories. Well, in this instance, in the prologue, there's that same kind of delight on a cosmic scale, in which John is describing then the birth of Jesus in relation to the presence of the Logos from the very beginning of time. And another dimension of this is that this reflects Jewish wisdom traditions. It is significantly congruent with the basic teaching of Stoicism, but this interpretation and understanding of the Logos that is reflected in the Johannine hymn is a sign of Jewish wisdom tradition, and specifically of the traditions of Sophia in the Hellenistic Jewish traditions of the Second Temple period. Another question. Who are we in this hymn? The storyteller says, you know, we have beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Son. We have received grace upon grace. Who are we? Well, it is an ambiguous pronoun. It refers, first of all, to the community of faith. That is, those who have believed in Jesus. So it is all those who have received him. And we have then received his grace. We have perceived his glory. But it is also implicitly all people, everyone who recognizes who he is. That is, that the Logos, the gift of the Son of God, is a gift to all of humanity. And we all have received, that is, all human beings. So it means both. The structure of the hymn is it moves from the cosmic description of creation, which is an allusion to and a retelling of Genesis 1, of the creation of life and light in the midst of the darkness of the world. And so this is a clear allusion to Genesis 1:1, God's Spirit moving over the face of the chaos of the waters and creating light out of darkness, separating the light from the darkness, from the night. So it is, first of all, this cosmic picture. The next part of the hymn is the history of the Logos, that is, of Jesus. It's introduced by a brief description of John the Baptist and his role. So it is, in that sense, an anticipation of the structure of the story to follow. The next part of the story refers to the rejection of the true light in the world by his own. And then to those who did, he gives the power to become children of God, to have a birth that comes from God rather than from human beings, from blood, from men, so on. This is another allusion to the birth stories, where there is the description of Jesus being born by the Spirit rather than by the seed of a man. But it is set in the context of his being rejected. Now, this is often taken to mean that the Jews rejected him and the Christians didn't, and then the Christians became the sons of God, but the Jews didn't. That's a misunderstanding and a misinterpretation of what is present here. The implication of the statement is he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all those who did receive him, well, that's, first of all, to all those of his own people who received him. So the implication is, to those Jews who did receive him, he gave the power to become children of God. But it also implies that others who believe in him, who are not Jewish, can also become children of God by this new birth. The next part of this, which is a reference to the story of Nicodemus and of being born again from above, from the Spirit, is a summary of Jesus' life. That the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, he made his tent among us, and that he manifested, he showed his glory, which is an allusion to the transfiguration stories in the Synoptics. Interestingly, John does not have any transfiguration stories. But there's a sense in which the whole of the story is a transfiguration story, because all of it, all of the stories and all of Jesus' words are a sign of his glory. And at several points in the story, that is described. So the gifts of grace, then, that have been received are, first of all, an allusion to the gifts of grace that are received by those who hear this story. But it is also a description of the gifts of grace that are given to all of humanity. The gift of Moses was the gift of the law. The gift of Jesus Christ is grace, truth, and, in the conclusion of the story, peace. So in each of the resurrection narratives, Jesus says, "Peace, peace I give to you." So what is made known then in Jesus is grace and truth and peace. I hope that you will have joy in telling this marvelous hymn, and I would strongly recommend that you tell the whole hymn. Don't accept the bifurcation of the hymn that is built into the lectionary. Just tell the whole thing, because it's such a wonderful introduction to John's story.